Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
Well, hello and welcome. I am Alejandra Crisafulli, and you are listening into In Sickness and in Wealth. Okay, so I think we all know that being in business can be hard, as well as being in a relationship can be hard. And when you put those two things together, well, we end up having this recipe of very unique set of challenges, right? Because those two things on their own can be challenging, but when you bring them together, even more so. So this show is all about taking control of your shared business and personal lives by really learning powerful methods that are specific to these entrepreneurial partnerships or relationships. And together, we're just going to be going deep into this unique world of partners and businesses so that you can really have key strategies to ensure your happiness, your success for both your personal relationships and your business. And I just happen to have with me a very special person, and we are business partners. So we're friends, we also own a business together, so this is very much so a near and dear conversation to us. So Bonnie Bonadeo is with us today. Say hello, Bonnie.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me on, Alejandra.
You're welcome. Thanks for doing this. And like I said, Bonnie and I have been business partners for the past, gosh, has it been 5 years already?
Yes, it has. That's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
To think back at, you know, when we started, but we own Naked Audience Productions, which is a coaching and training company that specializes in the art of authentic connection. So again, Bonnie, welcome, and we're excited to have you here. Why don't we just have you share a little bit about yourself?
Of course, yeah. So I love the idea of relationships. I love the idea of talking about health and wealth. And I want to say that probably, you know, relationships I think in my life have been my biggest challenge. I've always been a go-getter kind of person. I mean, from a very young age, I kind of had that vital personality, that not afraid to speak to a stranger personality as a young child. And you know, unfortunately, I had a major setback when I was 5, when I was kind of abducted and kidnapped by a neighborhood pedophile, and he, you know, attempted to sexually assault me. The good news is I was able to get away from him, but it instilled a unique perspective for me at that very young age. First, it was I knew better, and I knew better, and I still went down the street that I knew was a bad man. The second was it kind of instilled this thing in me that, you know, men weren't trustworthy, men weren't safe, and that did affect me and my relationships for many years going forward. I did the typical thing. There was this point where I realized I'm twice divorced. What's wrong with me? I got to go to therapy. You know, marriage counseling didn't even work. There's something incredibly wrong with me. And then, the second thing was how do I fix myself, and what do I need to do to make my life better? And it evolved into an opportunity, you know, where I really looked at life coaching. Now, of course, I took life coaching on to be able to support me in business, because that's where I had success in life. I had a lot of success in business. I was very successful in the roles that I took on. I'd get promoted into leadership rapidly. And so I always felt like I'm just going to put all my energy into that, not into relationships. But, you know, they go hand in hand, because if I had a male boss, I had conflict with them. And, mm-hmm. you know, and it just kind of started to evolve like that. So when I finally got, you know, from life coaching and I realized that it wasn't really just about supporting me in a business strategy of coaching, there were issues that I needed to kind of like really dive deeper into, own for myself, that these things, you know, in my past experiences affected all things in my future, not just personal relationships, my business relationships. And once I was able to kind of work through all of that, own some of myself, my behaviors, those fears that got attached to me at a very early age, I started to see an enormous amount of success. And today at this point, my ideal customer, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more as we kind of progress, my ideal customer is actually a male client that I really source, find, and enjoy doing business with. So all mm-hmm. of that evolution kind of came full circle for me. And I'm like, wow, look at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think I would be look like, you know, that. More female dominated. And especially because I'm in, you know, most of my business that I do is in the beauty industry, which is very female dominated. But no, it's the other side of it is I really enjoy the relationship with men in business. I have a very healthy relationship with a man now that I can say 2 years. We just had a 2-year anniversary. Yeah, kind of a, you know, kind of a quasi 2-year anniversary, but anniversary nonetheless. And I just feel really, I feel very empowered by the work that I've done, that we do, and how much our behaviors affect our relationships. So I love the conversation mm-hmm. we're about to begin.
I agree. And you said some really key things inside of that, Bonnie. So first, thank you for sharing that, because you know, we're all about this art of authentic connection, and we know that connection really happens through being vulnerable, through actually sharing yourself, your story, your hardships, because everyone can relate to them on one level or another, right? Like, you know, when mm-hmm. you were sharing about that piece around feeling like there was something incredibly wrong with you, and that you needed to be fixed, like I certainly have felt the same way, and I'm sure so many of our listeners feel the same way themselves in that. And we think that the only solution is maybe going to therapy or seeking counseling, which, yes, you know, I don't want to downplay those things, but for me personally, I just felt like I kept regurgitating my story and never really getting quote-unquote fixed. And
yeah, you know, the discovery the other day that, you know, because I was really trying to define when I was on a call with one of my clients, and I was really trying to define what was it about therapy that made me feel as though it wasn't the right solution for me, that it didn't have the right avenues for me to feel as though I was making progress in my life. And this is what it felt like. I would sit there and somebody would listen, which is great to have somebody actively listen. And I would kind of regurgitate stuff onto a table. And in that moment, I would feel better, like, oh, that was a release. It felt good to get that off my chest. And then as I was driving away, this was the feeling that I had from therapy. Oh my God, I feel completely judged, because there wasn't that secondary communication in that relationship with the therapist that they assisted me in what was next or how that applied to other parts of my life. It was just kind of releasing it and then feeling judged.
Yeah, so true. And again, I think we can all relate to that. I certainly remember feeling that way. And that's one of the things that I love about coaching is we do give that what's next part. And it does affect every area of life, whether it's business, your health, your money, your time, like everything is connected. So, you know, we're going to be covering lots of different topics inside of working together in both business and relationship. That's why it's called In Sickness and In Wealth, because it's both of those things. So today's topic is all about communication, and it can make a relationship, it can break a relationship. Like, if you really get down to the core of things and why either things work out really well or they just completely like suck and fall apart, like they go to shit, really, is because of communication. But in my perspective, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, because there's so many layers of why we communicate, why our communication is ineffective, and how we all communicate individually with expectations of the other person communicating in the same way as us. And that's not how it works.
Oh, my God. And I think you said, like, such an important word, which is expectations. It's so fascinating that we have so many expectations attached to our communication and what we're actually saying to someone or expecting them to say back. Like, when we throw expectations into this conversation, I think you just nailed it. That is such a big part as to why our communication actually ends up failing.
Yeah, I agree.
I just had an email from a client come through yesterday, and, you know, she was saying, like, SOS, you know, was the topic of her email, and it was supposed to be something really special and beautiful, which her partner was proposing to her, and they had gone away on this weekend, and, you know, she was talking about how all weekend, the whole conversation back and forth between them seemed like an argument. It seemed like they were battling, and she couldn't figure out why. And then finally, at the end, she was ready to just walk away. And he said, "Wow, I was going to propose to you, and, like, here's the ring." And she couldn't believe it.
Oh.
Yeah, right? So.
Yeah, something went terribly wrong there.
Yes, exactly. So she was kind of asking, like, what happened? How could this have happened this way? And when we got down to it, you know, most likely he had this set of expectation of how the whole weekend was going to go, what he was going to say. Like, imagine, he'd probably been planning this for who knows how long. And then to get there and have it go completely in the opposite direction, it's just, like, diffused from that point, right?
I totally get it. I get it.
So
yeah.
I guess the question is, how do we not have expectations when it comes to our communication? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the interesting thing is not having expectations means that you need to communicate your feelings in advance or when you see something is might be going awry. And, you know, like an example of this that I had this weekend. So, you know, Jeff and I, we were kind of celebrating 2 years of this moment where we knew there was something special between us, but we kind of weren't in a position to be able to kind of really just openly progress forward with that opportunity. And so having this, like, you know, expectation of, oh, here we are exactly the same place 2 years later, I knew that there were some expectations set up. And again, things, you know, could go terribly wrong. And, you know, he was wanting to go to the same restaurant we went to and kind of duplicate that 2 year ago type of thing. And I was fine with some of it, but there were some other parts of it that I wasn't fine with. In other words, my capacity to be able to kind of, you know, go all night long or, you know, make it a big full evening, I wasn't up to. I'm still dealing with a broken arm. I had worked all day. I'd done, you know, 7 interviews that day for my radio show. And I was kind of, I had like a reserve limit going on. And I thought, I need to let him know this, because what I don't want him to have is expectations that we're going to party all night long and have this big celebration, and I'm not really up to it. And that would be unfair to him. So at the dinner table, I just had to say, you know, I asked a question, right? I'm like, okay, you know, what would you like the rest of the evening to look like? And he kind of described it. And I said, would you be okay if we ended up doing this instead or keeping it to just this and this? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. I know you've been working all day and you still have some commitments tomorrow. And so we were able to communicate what we wanted the evening to look like together. But somebody has to start that original communication.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's so true. Like, I'm always in my coaching practice talking to clients about speaking your truth. And part of speaking your truth is to not have expectations of how the other person is going to respond or what they're going to say. But, you know, at the end of the day, I get it's easy to say don't have expectations, and quite differently to actually do that in not having expectations. So to prompt that conversation, like you're saying, like actually ask questions so that you have clarity before even speaking your truth or going deeper into the conversation, that you're either asking questions to gain clarity, or maybe you're prompting the conversation by sharing, hey, this is what I'm thinking, you're thinking, or this is what I would like to come from this conversation, but I understand that may be totally different for you. If you just give me the space for a moment to say what I need to say, and then you can respond and we can go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because here's like a typical thing. Somebody has expectations, they're ready to deliver on those expectations. And then all of a sudden the other person is like, oh no, I don't want to do that. I'm not in the mood to do that. And then what it does is it creates disappointment in the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So just even in our simple response of, oh no, I don't want to go there, or I'm not up to that, you know, kind of communication can really put the other person on guard or feeling defensive or feeling disappointed. So you have to be able to kind of know that the conversation has to remain unified, neutral in the discussion until you both decide what you want this to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about our partnership. Like, let's be naked here with our audience, which is all part of our brand, you know, naked audience. And you know, what's interesting is Bonnie and I thought we were so clever when we came up with this name for our company, because initially we set up this business to support speakers to get out there and really be able to authentically connect with their audience when they're speaking live in front of maybe a small group of people or hundreds of people online, whatever it might be. You know, it was focused more on speakers. So we thought, why don't we call it Naked Audience? Because you know what they say about fear and speaking. If you just picture your audience naked, then somehow the fear will magically go away. Well, no. I think we all know that's not true. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I can absolutely speak from experience, because I used to be deathly, deathly afraid to speak publicly. But we thought we were very clever with that. And then once we started really getting deeper into who our audience is, what is our brand, what are we really talking about, what is our message, who are we, and why is this important? We started to uncover that it's not about your audience being naked. It's about you, the speaker, being naked. And, you know, that's really the key part, which actually supports you in being free from your fear. It allows you to connect more with your audience. It has you have better communication, less expectations. Like, I would say getting naked is the recipe for success.
It is, because, you know, because again, just like I had those feelings of feeling judged after I walked away from a therapy session, you don't want to be standing in front of people, whether it's 1 or 100, and feel judged. But if you allow yourself to be vulnerable, then what we know to be true is that connection happens and other people can relate to your story. And even if they don't relate fully or they've had that experience in their life, they can feel compassion towards you in your vulnerability to be able to make that connection. And that, boom, opens up a world of opportunities for others.
So
yourself.
True. Oh my gosh, absolutely. So in our partnership, you know, I think the beauty of what we actually coach people on and train them on is that we have to actually apply what we're teaching others to do within ourselves. Which is challenging at times because we're human too. Like, even though we have the knowledge and have done the deep work, like, hey, it still happens. So what would you say has been one of our biggest challenges in our partnership when it comes to communication?
You know, it's true. I love when you say that. I mean, if we're teaching authentic connection, authentic speaking, authentic communication, all of these things that are, you know, pretty much our titles of our types of trainings and coaching programs, we have to walk the walk and talk the talk. And being human, sometimes you want to avoid that. Sometimes, you know, I want to be right. Sometimes I have to, you know, really put on my listening, you know, hat and hear you out. But I think one of the bigger challenges is that we're more alike than we're different. Mm-hmm. So I think we can sometimes have those expectations of each other where it's like, oh, well, she's like me, she'll get it or she'll understand. But there's still the part of us that even though we might be more alike than different, there's still the part that says there's emotions attached to having those difficult conversations or having an idea of how you want it to look and then being able to effectively communicate that. Because I might make assumptions that I know where you're going. And instead of actively listening to what idea you have for our business and our future.
Yeah, that's so true. I agree with that completely. So coming from that assumption, because we are alike more than different, rather than really fully communicating it out and having that clarity on it.
Mm-hmm. And giving each other, whatever it may be, giving each other that space to be able to, you know, really communicate that effectively is, you know, I think some people make the assumption a lot of times. It's like, oh, you want to have a partner that has, you know, maybe doesn't have the same strengths as you do, you know, have a different set of strengths so that you can really kind of play off of each other. The truth is we are both trainers and coaches in our business, and one of us can't be super better than the other in either of those capacities because what we do together really, I think, creates that connection and resonates with people.
Totally.
You know, I can't be the only one training. If you were like, no way, I'm not getting up in front of people, I'm not going to speak in public, I'm not going to train, we actually wouldn't have a partnership because it would be very difficult to run this kind of a business with those typical differences. So I think I like the idea that we both have similar strengths and similar ideas of what we want our business to be. But it still can be challenging in giving each other the platform of what we see as what's working, what's not working, what's next, and you know, and that ability to really support each other, not just in what we do together, but in who we are in life, to really maximize that ultimate human support of who we're being in life, and knowing that we have our ups and downs and good and bad days, just like anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. There is an important distinction that I want to make sure our listeners are really getting here, which is anytime you're entering into a business venture with someone else, whether you are intimate with them, like you have some kind of intimate relationship, your friends, your family members, like this goes for anything that you are entering, any kind of relationship that you take to the next level as far as starting a business venture together. The distinction I want to share with you is that you have to have shared values and also similar strengths. So like Bonnie was saying, she and I have similar strengths, but more importantly, we have shared values.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great because I do hear people talk about when they come to our workshops or sit in a coaching session with both of us that they can see our strengths, but they also see our differences. And, you know, in an area that I might be lacking in, Bonnie's really strong in, or an area that she might be lacking in, I'm really strong in. And it's great that we can support each other and pick up wherever someone is left off, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a
beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it makes a great partnership. But I think the part that people miss the most is these shared values. Like, it's not something they end up talking about before entering into some kind of business venture. It's almost like assumed that, oh, we're so passionate about this same topic or the same idea, let's just jump into bed together and hope that it all works out. And
yeah.
I'm thinking back on it. Like, I don't even know that we actually had a clear communication conversation of, these are my values, and do they match?
No, we actually did, because I remember when we took that on, because you had shared that was one of the things that you had done in your coaching. And so I remember we sat there in your studio,
yes,
and we both made a list.
Totally.
We took like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I don't even know what it was, and we kind of like didn't talk, and we both made a list of what we wanted, this, you know, our company, this program, the idea of supporting other people, what we wanted it to look like. And it was interesting because when we shared the list, there was a lot of what we agreed was the same. And then there was a few things where I'm like, oh yeah, I like that. And I think it was really funny because, you know, one of the last things we put on there was really like some ideal of profit, you know, where I think when people go into business together, you think, and you know, we're going to bring this and we're going to make $1 million type of thing. I think that in both of our cases, we had this compassionate ability to want to support people in being better and having a better mm-hmm. life and growing their businesses to the next level. And with that, I think profit for us was kind of like on the bottom of that list. Like, it's going to happen because we have these other shared values in there.
Yeah, so true. And just as you said that, I was like flashing back to my little studio
mm-hmm.
with the wood floor. And because that was my big thing, is finding an office that had these really great wood floors. So I just remembered flashing back, and you're right. We did. We set those core values, which is probably why we've been so successful in our partnership. Because we set that foundation from the very get-go.
Yeah, and it seemed to naturally inspire us. But you know how we met, and the ability for our mutual friend Lois Kinsey to be able to kind of bring us together. There was something there, even without knowing each other and having history of each other. There was something there mm-hmm. right away that said, "Oh, this is good. This is going to be good. This is going to be fun."
Absolutely.
So that was also, I think, our instinct and our intuition of trusting ourselves in bringing something to light and having that vulnerability step into it as well. You know, I had an idea. You had an idea. I did not believe that the idea alone by myself could be as powerful as if I did it with somebody else, but I didn't know who that somebody else was. I didn't have a game plan in place of who could do this with me, you know, and what was the missing piece that person could bring to the table that I didn't have. I didn't know. I didn't have those answers. So that was where it was like I had the why I wanted to do this. I didn't have the how or the who. But I think, like you say, the shared values, the why I wanted to do it was, you know, a critical part of, I think, why our shared values came together, that the you and all the how pieces just started to naturally develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because that foundation was really solid in our shared values, and we both had very similar whys.
Yeah.
Why we wanted
to do this
and create this business.
Yeah, I heard this one speaker one time, and the course that I was in, or the program that I was at, conference that I was at, the topic was when you're in business with family. So, you know, kind of the same thing that you're talking about here. You're in business with, you know, people that you have more of an intimate relationship with, whether it's family, a loved one, you know, really good, or, you know, good friends that you've known for many years type of thing. But he said this. He said, culture will eat strategy for lunch every day. And I know that phrase is, you know, I've heard it a few times since then, but it really resonated with me in regards to the relationship, because a culture of a business is based on shared values. And it's how you then communicate and express yourself and your brand. Strategies might just be more of an inflection of what you want to accomplish, but don't necessarily create a culture. Values and culture, I think, go hand in hand.
Absolutely. That's powerful, too.
Yeah, and I always remembered that because I thought, you know, we didn't sit down and put together a business plan of full blown on strategies of how we were going to take this business to the next level. We really stayed true to the values, the culture, the brand essence, the brand message, and who was going to play what role so that we were bringing our best strengths out to accomplish what we had intended. And then strategy started becoming a secondary opportunity for us to naturally grow a business.
Yeah, and I think a key component to our success is partnership and in both business and our friendship outside of our business too, is being open and the openness that we have with each other. Like it's similar to the vulnerability, but I think this goes more back to the expectations and not having them, when really we're approaching each other, it's with this openness to receiving whatever it is, the other person's ideas, concepts, whatever that might be, that we're open to that and we're open to listening and also sharing. And we're not attaching any kind of meaning to what's being said.
Right. Even though emotions can still be at play with us, because that's just part of our humanness. You know, there are times that we have conversations that are difficult for us to get through. And I know and feel the emotions of myself and you. But I think that we really know we still got to get through it. As hard as it can be sometimes to have that open communication, we got to get through it. Because if we don't, what's the result?
What's left? Exactly. Then what?
Yeah, then what? Then, you know, it's just like anything in a relationship. If you're not communicating effectively, there's a point where the relationship starts to disconnect. And if it starts to disconnect, then how do you get it back together? Well, I can't. I know you don't want to be in a business, and I don't want to be in a business where we're disconnected, because how is that serving others?
Yeah, no. And everything, like we were talking about earlier, everything is connected. So if we're disconnected within ourselves and our partnership, everything else in the business starts to disconnect as well. Money, attracting people to our programs, everything. I mean, it all connects back. So coming back to some of the key things we've been talking about all around communication today, some of the things we've addressed so far is expectations, and that's a big challenge when it comes to communicating effectively. We gave you some tips or tools to use as far as not having expectations. We've also talked about assuming and how that all works out, having shared values, similar strengths, getting naked, being vulnerable and open. And I just want to remind our listeners here that you're absolutely welcome to call in and ask your questions. If you do want to call in, you can use the phone number 646-716-7979. We'd love to hear you and be able to answer any questions that you might have. So Bonnie, let's talk about let's continue this conversation around what are some of the big components to communication not working? We've addressed some things. Fundamentally, why doesn't it work?
Part of it, there's a couple arenas. I think one is how we grew up in the communication style of our family, our surroundings, our upbringing. I think another one is cultural in itself, like a cultural difference. You know, I was directing this huge graduation. There was like 579 people graduating, getting a doctoral degree. Very, very, very impressive and very inspiring. And there was so much diversity in the room of these people that were graduating and everything. And, I'm sitting next to the what you call the voice of God, the person that's doing the live, speaking the names of the people that are graduating. And some of those names are really, really, really difficult. And I noticed that he had skipped a couple names. They still went on the screen. They got their notoriety, but he didn't say them. And so I said to him, I said, I noticed that you missed a couple of names. And he goes, in certain cultures, saying it wrong is worse than not saying it at all. So there's a communication piece. Yeah. And I thought, but I understood that. Right.
Yeah.
And so he, in his experience and being an expert, voiceover, he knew that saying it wrong could be more offensive to the family and that person graduating than to not say it.
Yeah.
And then that person still has a moment and everything. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So there's like a communication thing right there that, cultural, and then just, our upbringing, how we saw our parents communicate to us and what we knew we could get away with in our communication styles within our family structure.
Absolutely. And learning what is okay to communicate and what is not okay to communicate. For example, emotions, like maybe it was taught in your household that it is not okay for you to express your emotions, which is a form of communication, getting to express how you feel through crying or maybe even yelling, sadness, anger, and being told like, no, that's not okay. Cut it out. Stop it. All messages that's programming us to believe that, oh, okay, we're not supposed to talk about our sadness, or we're not supposed to talk about how angry we are. You just suppress it and hold it in until, well, it blows up.
in some cases, overexpressing. You might be in a family that there's a lot of expression. And so then you go into, you become the adult, you go into a work environment and you think it's okay just to overly express. And then what you find is that there's some appropriate structure in place that says, yeah, you can't just walk in the president's office and start complaining just because there's something going on here. Like there's a chain of command or, a form of communication that you need to do. But we don't realize how we're communicating. It's much easier to watch someone else communicating and see their good and bad qualities of it than to see ourselves.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so true. We would much rather place the blame on someone else than turning the mirror around and looking at ourselves, which, is a whole other show.
It is.
Just from our experience and coming from the coaching background that we do, we both know that the two big parts, one you mentioned earlier as to why we actually don't communicate, which is a huge challenge with it, is that we don't want to feel judged. So we just don't say anything.
Or we
try and twist it around in our head and go over it again and again and again and again, like awake at night trying to think of how am I going to say this? How am I going to say it absolutely perfectly so that it comes out the right way so that we're not judged?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
And then there's always, that other part of the communication where somebody might be communicating to you. And the way that they're communicating, you think that it's personal. And I'm going to be very careful when I say this statement because it's got a ton of undertone and nuance to it, right? Is you know, when somebody says it's just business, it's not personal, but we can't take the personal side out of being human. And there's a lot of times in our lack of effective communication, it's, we think the way somebody's communicating to us that they don't like us, that we've done something wrong. And then we harbor that feeling instead of checking in, communicating forth, being more open, speaking our truth.
Exactly.
And then what we do is we go, oh, I don't like that person. They don't like me, so I don't like them. And then what happens then, and the other person is completely unaware that this is what's going on. And they don't know why the relationship is starting to break down or dissolve. And then, but if you, you know, if you checked in, you could, you know, you could maybe get to a different place and not have it kind of get to that point of no return.
Exactly. Which it all comes down to, I mean, this is where our personal habits or behaviors come into play because of our fear of what might happen, being judged, being wrong, not being perfect, failing at whatever it might be. Like, this is where our natural innate behaviors would take over, like maybe being passive, like you were sharing, and not saying, you know, anything at all, believing that the other person doesn't like you. So you're just like, you know, I'm just going to be passive and not really engage with that person, or avoiding, or maybe manipulating or controlling. Like, all of these are very common behaviors that we tend to take on out of our fear and completely affect communication. I think another really big one here that we should talk about is the not being liked. Like, we're afraid if we actually speak our truth, or we actually do authentically communicate, like however you want to say that, that someone's not going to like us because of what we said.
Yeah, that I don't know one person that wouldn't agree that is a thought that will roll through their head prior to speaking, or why they don't speak what they need to speak.
Yeah,
because there is that innate ability to want to be liked as a human, and we can't deny that. We cannot deny that. You know, that's where you know, it's just business. It's not personal. It doesn't apply.
No. Yep. The last one I feel like we should mention, and really this is like fundamentally what's interwoven in the big failure of communication. Everything that we're talking about comes down to perception. And our perception of what we believe someone else is saying, not saying, what we believe how people are thinking about us or not thinking about us, like, it's this realm of perception that we live in that we just absolutely believe to be true, and it keeps us stuck in fear and not openly communicating.
Yeah, perception is a big one. And again, that's where it's based on what we believe based on our experiences, not necessarily what is fact or truth. You know, when I'm you know, in a coaching mode with people, but when they say things like, well, then he said this, and I'm like, do you know that for fact? And then it kind of has them stop and think about it, because if they do know it for fact, then it's a conversation that can be had. If they don't know it for a fact, you have to redirect a conversation to, so, you know, what had you think that? Why are you thinking that that's the truth? You know, when possibly it's not the truth. So, and where is that coming from? And what's further behind that? And it really has people stop and realize that they're creating kind of that you know, rabbit hole effect, where they're making things worse than they probably are based on being perceived
so
in perception.
So true. Okay, so we need to develop a class called the rabbit hole effect. That was awesome. Yeah. All right. So, you know, we've given some solutions throughout our conversation here. And I think the biggest solution that we can support our listeners with is really talking about our ultimate communication course.
Yeah. You know what? I love this course. I always have felt that the role I've had to play in many positions that I've had over the course of my career, and many failures that I've had in personal relationships with other people, I can look back on them now and go, I know exactly why that relationship didn't prosper. And it was all based on my level of communications with them, their level of communication with me. And it's, you know, I wish I could go back in time and kind of fix and repair some of those things, but I realize it was part of also my, you know, my learning curve in this. But I love this program because it not only helps people to really be more powerful in their profession, their careers, it helps them personally in their relationships with their significant other, their children, their family, their friends. Communication is by no means has boundaries on it that, you know, that says this is how you communicate at work and this is how you communicate at home and this is how you communicate with your loved ones. You know, if you have all those different communication styles going on, then you're not being authentic in who you are in trying to make, you know, that that ability to have the most powerful existence. You're kind of allowing situations or circumstances to dictate how you're communicating. And I think that's the biggest thing we can offer in this course is have people see how they're communicating and how it affects those different parts of their lives and have them be more connected to themselves so that they can communicate in all parts of their lives in a way that's powerful.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. And because communication is such a complex thing, like just talking about the three biggest challenges, feeling judged, not being liked, and perception, like perception alone on its own is such a deep conversation to really have and understand how to truly free yourself from that. It takes time to really understand that. So, and Bonnie and I get this, like this is a journey when it comes to learning how to really effectively communicate. So we've developed this 2-day course called the Ultimate Communication Course, and you can actually visit it online at ultimatecommunicationcourse.com. But it's in beautiful San Diego. So listen, if you're in the San Diego area, we're right in the little Italy downtown San Diego Bay area, which is just gorgeous in itself. But we go deep into this concept around communication and supporting you on how to really become the best communicator for yourself and for your relationships in business and in life. And listen, I understand not everybody's going to be able to travel to San Diego if you're not in the immediate area. So I am going to share with you like the number one tool before we finish up today. But is there anything else, Bonnie, that you want to talk about around the workshop or just communication in general that you want our listeners
I really want to encourage people that even if they're not in the San Diego market, that August 12th and 13th couldn't be a better time to be in San Diego compared to anywhere in the country. You got
so
humidity. I am so ready to be in San Diego. I live in Phoenix, right? So I'm ready to be in San Diego on August 12th and 13th because I'm just expecting that beautiful, amazing, cool weather that I just haven't had a chance to experience all summer long yet. So it's that for sure. So, you know, and I also want to say that, you know, we're offering these programs at a very fair price because we understand that this is an introduction to other opportunities that we offer as an organization. And we want to offer this, we want this introduction to get as far reached and as to as many people as we possibly can. So we're only charging $197 for this program for people to attend. But I promise you, the value is so much more of what we give. Both Alejandra and I are givers. We want to just like, we want to give it all. And in 2 days, you are going to get so much from us on being able to see effective communication, ineffective communication styles. You're going to get your money's worth is all I can tell you. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And this is also our way to give back too. Like, we've made it such a doable investment that it's almost crazy on our part. But hey,
I know,
that's
I
what
know.
We're givers.
But we also understand, but you know, that's where we've looked at communicating together and understanding. Part of our strategy is we want to offer it to more people and make a greater impact in societies than have it be a really high-end price and have it be so inclusive to few. You know, we know that there's the other things that we offer are the right things to offer for the right people. But these programs, these two-day programs that we offer, it's about a greater reach for us, a greater reach because, listen, life is hard enough. Our lives are hard enough. We are having to deal with so many things that we don't want this to be hard. We want people to have an understanding of how to better communicate, because we're going to have more prosperity in our lives. We're going to have more happiness. We're going to have better marriages, better success and profits in business, just based on being better communicators.
And who doesn't want that? Thank you very much. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I'm just going to finish up here by giving this number one tool to support you in your communication. And when I share this, it's so simple, guys. Like, really, this is not rocket science on this tool here. It's the most simplest thing that will absolutely support you in your communication. So here it is. Ask questions. Get curious. Period. Like, when you get curious and ask questions, it will eliminate your perception, because you're actually going to gain clarity. You're also going to hear, like, does somebody like you or not? Or was that just, again, the perception you were thinking? Or are you truly being judged or not because of your own perception? Like, when you ask the questions, you gain the clarity, and then you can let go of all the other shit that was in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, and the difference is, if you're not asking questions, you're typically making statements. Statements trigger behaviors and emotions in others.
Yes. Okay. So real quick, because we need, that was a really important point. I want them to get this before I finish up. Can you share an example of the difference between a statement and a question?
They can both end in a question mark, but a statement implies you already have the answer. A question goes into that inquisitive and curious state of mind that you don't know the answer. And in asking, you're creating a connection and an open dialogue with another.
Okay, so would it be something like, statement would look something like, are you okay? Versus a question might be something like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Good. Because are you okay when somebody visibly looks upset or is showing emotion is an assumption. You're like, you already know that they're not okay. And then what that does is it triggers the behavior for them to say, no, I'm fine. A question of that comes from curiosity and also compassion is, what's coming up for you? What can I help you with? Open that person to allow the vulnerability to step in and say, yeah, you're right, I'm not okay. Can I share with you what's going on?
Yeah. And just simply asking that, like, what's going on? Oh, love it. So we actually give so much more into how do you formulate questions, because it's a skill to develop on how do you actually formulate those questions rather than making statements in our ultimate communication course. So, Bonnie, I want to thank you for being here. I always appreciate your energy, your friendship, your partnership. I'm grateful for you.
Oh, thank you. And grateful for you, too.
Thank you. And I also want to thank our listeners, and we're excited. We're hoping to see you here in August 12th and 13th at the Ultimate Communication Course in San Diego. And I will be joining you in 2 more weeks, and we're going to have another special guest with us focusing in on relationships and business and how do you really have a healthy, thriving partnership and business together. Healthy bottom line, healthy life.
This is In Sickness and in Wealth. I'm Alejandra Crisafulli, your host, and I'm excited to see you in 2 weeks. Until then, be brave.